to the Into the Void podcast with your host, Sammy Starr. Step into the void.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Into the Void. I am with Polar, one of the best freaking post-hardcore bands that are coming onto the scene right now. I want them to actually introduce themselves. I'm really bad at this because I normally introduce the guest and I really should be handing it over to you guys to do that. December before January, I've been taking like little notes of things I want to improve for the new year. And instead of me introducing people, I want to give it over to you guys to introduce yourselves.
Fab, you go first.
Hey, I'm Fab. I play guitar.
I'm Woody, and I'm the vocalist in Polar. We are two of the long-serving members of Polar. You've got the veterans today, so you should get a good interview out of us, to be honest. We've been here since day one.
Together we make a lot of noise.
I love when I get well-seasoned musicians in the band, and, you know, we're going to dive into all of that. Not just the album, but, you know, what really makes you guys who you are. Because sure. I definitely feel like coming from 2019's album to this album, there's a lot to talk about within those two different energies. I always like to ask this question, and I know most people can go and Google and, you know, do their research and whatnot, but I always feel like every artist kind of has their story about how their band came about. And it's always nice to hear from word of mouth instead of reading something on a site or whatever. So how did Polar get started and what inspires you guys to keep making the music that you continue to make?
We'll do the short explanation of how it all came about. The current lineup we have and the current lineup that's produced the album isn't the lineup that we started the band with. Like many bands, started with a different lineup and we've ended up with different people. Life changes, people's like situations change. But Polar originally came from an amalgamation of local bands. So three local bands. We all came together. We played in a local scene for a long time, but none of these bands had ever broken out. So what we wanted to do is like-minded people came in, we wrote the songs with the idea of actually touring, breaking out of our local scene. This is back in the MySpace days. The only way you could
those
do
were
that,
glorious days though.
They are. I mean, bring them back. That's what I say. Like, you know, they were good times. And without that platform, we wouldn't be here talking to you today. So they have a lot to thank for. But yeah, so amalgamation of bands, and none of the local bands in our scene had really toured apart from like a couple of them. It was a hunger, a desire to really feel that, like to actually be out there on the road and actually experience touring. So we wrote enough songs to put in a set. We put them on MySpace. We did a lot of gig swapping. Yeah, we just went out and toured and the ball rolled and rolled and rolled. And luckily we got picked up by a label and we're here now talking to you. We were only supposed to do one tour. We wrote enough songs to do one tour. We're here 12, 13 years down the line, still doing it. We have a hunger and a desire to push ourselves musically. I think the band's changed dramatically over the years. And I think those changes are pure desire and hunger to better ourselves, to better ourselves as musicians, to better the band. We've been lucky to tour with a lot of bands and to see a lot of bands and how they work musically. And that's an inspiration itself. And that inspiration's pushed us to continue to go because it's like, cool, that band's sick. They're doing that. How do we do that? You know, how do we become that next level? How do we make songs that make people do this and the other? But the initial one is that we started literally just to basically go and experience what being in a band was. Regardless, we didn't really think that the world was going to be in front of us and we were going to go as far as we have, but purely just to be a bit road worn, you know, to make some stories, to come and report back to base camp about what Glasgow's like to play in, what Manchester's like to play in. The name came about from purely a previous band that Fab and I had come from was called the Comanche Cypher, which is a mouthful. Try and explain that to someone right. In a very noisy, loud bar, intense thing to do. So we purely tried to pick a name that was easy to say, that looked cool and would look good in many different formats, whether it be a backdrop, whether it be a t-shirt, whether it be on a CD. And Polar looks cool written. It's a cool word. I think that's pretty much where we were kind of sort of based from. I mean, I'll let Fab add.
I mean, you've hit the nail on the head, but all I can add is maybe a little funny thing was obviously Woody and I were in separate, you know, different bands before all of our adventures started. And we played a show together. The show was cool. we went back to, I think, to Woody's place. All the bands went back there. And it was the first time that Woody had met our singer at the time. And they had a nice chat. They were chatting away, left them to it. It was all great. And then by the end of the night, my singer ends up turning around to me and goes, dude, I just can't do it anymore. I'm leaving the band. And I was like, Woody!
It wasn't sabotage.
It wasn't sabotage. It wasn't. But from that, I was like, geez, you know, okay, we've just instantaneously lost a singer. That's great. And then I ended up joining the band with Woody, you know, so it was kind of, it all worked out in the end. That was some of my first early, you know, interactions with Woody way back then was sabotaging my band. Yeah.
So you were getting hit with all the freaking heavy stuff even before things got really deep into it. That's insane.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah, the band that we started was, albeit the name was, was hard to remember. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't a few words to it. But we were writing some pretty heavy stuff back then, you know, so it was far more tech orientated.
We were tuned to G. I don't know if you know guitar tuning. Like, G's pretty low. We were really infatuated with Dillinger Escape Plan and heavy music.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I won't say how old Fab and I are, but that point in time.
That part doesn't matter. You guys look very young. So fact, we'll leave it at that.
Interview us anytime. But we grew up in a scene where like bands like Poison the Well, Dillinger Escape Plan, Botch, that scene was like really kind of exploding at the time. And it was very influential to what we wanted to write. It didn't necessarily make the music we wrote in our previous band very cohesive. It was very parts. It wasn't like, cool, this is a song. Like, you know, these have the attributes to a song. This was like, that bit's really heavy, but this bit's even heavier, you know, and this bit's really technical. What we then did is when members joined Polar and we put Polar together, there was a real conscious movement and effort to make songs. We had come out of this holder kind of like writing 5 minute sectioned metal pieces to be like, let's have a verse, let's have a chorus, let's have a pre-chorus, let's have a mid-late, you know, let's structure songs to people's enjoyments. And I think you can't break that mold too heavily because that mold works. People like structure in songs, and that conscious effort to move from what we were doing to making Polar, that was definitely a big, big step for us because we weren't writing songs like that before. But we took elements of that band and we wove those elements into what we were wanting to do with Polar.
No, you could definitely see that with 2019's Nova. I feel like right then and there was where we saw a very, you know, confident, mature versions of yourself. There's a very pioneering mindset that you guys have that I really appreciate in terms of how your sound holds against these very heavy kind of gargantuan, I want to say, post-hardcore elements. But then you have the backdrop where we have these really great kind of atmospheric touches that are just really nice. And I feel like they were perfected more in this album, but you guys really don't hold anything back when it comes to, you know, your sound. And I think 2019's Nova really showed that and really proved that. But then when we move into this album, there's something really emotionally raw and cathartic about the whole experience, like going from the beginning and going to the end, but yet it's still has these aggressively crushing aspects to it that I really enjoyed from the last album. I think we kind of dove into this from talking about the last question, but with this being an impassionately intense album, and I know you guys wrote this during the pandemic, you feel the chaos, you feel the confusion, not only instrumentally, but within the lyrics. What was inspiring you guys instrumentally with this album, and how do you feel it was different from 2019's Nova?
All I would say is I think, you know, our influences range from a lot of different kinds of music. We've always been keen to have melody in there, for one. There's structure, like Woody said earlier, choruses that come back. There's also a lot of softer elements, parts of songs. There's also softer songs as a whole. And these are just into all of our little influences, be it people like, I don't know, Thrice. That's a, for us, a huge influence. But it just comes out in the package that is, essentially, we're a heavy band. But, you know, if you break down the layers, there's a lot of other types of music that contribute to our final sound. And then on top of that, we sing and we write about things that are close to us or things that we witness or You know what I mean? There's nothing overly political, nothing religious, but it's emotive to us. And I think that mixed with a couple of new writers in the band for this album, it's got the same message, the emotive side to it, but it is delivered in a slightly different way.
Going back to a previous response, I said we've been very keen from day one to push ourselves, and Nova was a big push. The next record was even bigger. For us, internally, the better albums we write are the ones that are more challenging.
Of course.
And build a layered wall of different things happening and then putting that in together to make a song. Well, that's a challenge. And it was like, you either rise to the challenge or you don't. And if you don't rise to the challenge, well, you're not going to get the best product of what you're trying to do. And I do strongly believe that we rose to the challenge musically. It was about like pushing ourselves. And that's how we got a good product out of it, is because we rose to the challenge. We did, instead of sort of like not really get into it. Now, I think I love Nova. I love the fact that what we did with Nova really kind of broke the mold. I don't think it got there. I think we rose to the challenge. I don't think we hit the nail on the head with it. I think Everywhere Everything does that more so.
I think you punctuated that perfectly. Yes, I feel that this new album does fine-tune everything. And I feel like lyrically, this is one of the strongest albums you guys have had. Again, we're going into this, the next question. I kind of want to dive into, you know, the lyrical aspect of it, because I know you kind of touched on this in the last question. Writing this in the pandemic, I know a lot of artists were dealing with a lot of different emotions, but like I said, you could feel that immense amount of pressure throughout the whole sequence of the album. And I know something that you guys had expressed was the feeling that this band might not make it. Was that the most complicated thing that you feel that you had gone through throughout this process?
If I'm honest, I don't think we stopped living like that. I think that that, unfortunately, is a mechanism installed in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things you don't know. Tomorrow's a different page, a different story. Write your albums, write your music like you're never going to be able to write music again. And I think we were in a situation in the pandemic where we felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were writing with the ambition of like, this could be it, you know, this album could come out and touring could never come back, or this album could come out and we don't have our place in the music industry anymore. We don't have a place with our fans. We disappeared for 2 years off social media completely, like gone. We were a ghost for many years, which led to speculation, because if you just disappear without a word, people speculate, which they naturally do. Our band's death was speculated probably quite heavily for a long time. And that feeling doesn't go, that speculation of death doesn't leave you so much, because you know, it's a horrible feeling to think that someone thinks you've gone, you've died. And maybe our album reflects that in the sense of the way we wrote it. We were putting everything into it because our survival, our heartbeat, our revival was reliant on these 10 tracks.
Right.
If these 10 tracks don't do what they need to do, then there might not be a resuscitation. There might not be a band to live for, you know. So we still live with that now, like heavily. I don't think that will ever leave. The feeling that the band might die, it unfortunately, in the world we live in the current times, it encodes that band. It encodes many bands, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a horrible dread feeling. And the closer we get to the album being out, I guess that feeling does alleviate, but it never leaves. How that will affect future music, I'm sure it will, because when you put face to face in front of your own death, it's an emotion. It pulls everything out of you. So I think having that feeling looming over your head, it has good points and it has bad points. The good points is it makes you probably a better writer, because you're pushing your musical voyage further, because you don't know how far that voyage was going. But, you know, that's something we had to go through and we're probably still recovering from now, is it affects your mental health. It crushes you. It's like getting a Coke can, an empty Coke can, bang.
Right. It almost corners you in to make you feel a certain way.
Being in a band currently, that can happen to you 3 or 4 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to learn how to kind of move forward from that. And the closer the album comes out, the that feeling kind of alleviates as well. It never goes away, but it alleviates. yeah, we do write music like it's our last. It doesn't mean it is our last, but it's something that has probably been installed to us during making an album through a pandemic.
Mm. And let's not forget, obviously, with this particular album, like you say, in the pandemic, in the UK, we couldn't meet up whatsoever. We were,
right,
like many people, in lockdown. So this album was written, never were we in the same room together at all.
We played three songs live together. That's it. Yeah. Out of that thing.
Yeah. We literally hadn't played these songs together in front of us, each other, like one guitar note before, you know, these songs started coming out, before the finished, you know, the record had been laid, which is a strange concept, really. It's long and drawn out because obviously you have to discuss and decide on these certain aspects of the song over a Zoom call. Can you make it? Yeah, can you make this Zoom call? Well, I'm not sure. You know, you're talking about whatever part of the song that times the whole album is like, it's challenging, you know. We'd never done it, as with many bands, I'm sure, and it was definitely a challenge to write the strongest material you can with one arm tied behind your back. Let's try that. And so, you know, hearing the end result is great, because it's probably my favorite album. I think the songs are delivered and recorded concisely. Do you know what I mean? It's all on the button, it hits where it needs to, the emotion is where it needs to be. And yeah, it's something to be very proud of.
I know you guys have walked away from this more, not only matured versions of yourselves, but it seems evident that this has really altered everything moving forward, to how you make albums, to how you live your lives. Are you hoping that when people listen to this album, that they reflect on this the same way? Or, you know, what emotions are you hoping people take from this when they listen to this from start to finish?
The big thing I focused on lyrically on the album is human connection. Mm-hmm. We were on a tour with Spirit Box after the burial and Make Them Suffer in Europe. We were in Switzerland 2 days before the pandemic started. And it was very easy when we decided we were going to do the album, the very easy to put a focus point on a virus. Let's sing about a virus. Yeah, everyone was like sick of hearing about viruses, and albums have to hold their place in time. You know, you don't want somebody to write about something that is basically going to annoy someone, or it's, you know, they don't really want to hear any more about it. They've kind of shoved down their throats for 2 years. So what I looked at is the human connection. All the relationships I have changed, every single one. And that is a hard pill to swallow. And I think in the album, I really kind of looked into that. Like, songs like Rush were like severe nostalgia. Like, I wanted to go back to being some of these times I've had with my friends, you know, where, you know, you laugh until you cry, you're up until 5 in the morning, you're living. You know, in like the song Everywhere, Everything, I talked about ex-members leaving. And that can be very misconstrued to a relationship breaking up, because that's what it was. It was a break in a relationship. And what I think I want people to take away from that album is feel that human connection, or for them to really kind of like explore the connections they've got with their loved ones and their friends. That's what I would like people to really, really pull out of that. It's horrible when you have to face facts, things that you've known your whole life, and things that the way they are. And then that's all changed. It's a hard thing to do by. And I'm hoping that this record can really like help people challenge that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually not pretend that everything's okay, because it's not okay. Like, things aren't okay. And the sooner you can start to like really face those and like express those are hurdles to making things better. I think the things that don't make it better is when you just ignore the fact that things aren't the same. And I think that record has a really heavy theme for it of the human connection, whether that's good, bad, happy, sad. It's about those connective moments. And I want people to explore those moments themselves. And hopefully our record can aid that.
You bring up Rush. I think that's my most favorite track on this record. Just the way it flows so effortlessly, again, with these kind of melodic touches and then these very heavy post-hardcore elements. And then I think what really hits the most, like I said, is the lyrics in that song and the cadence of that with, you know, what's going on in the song. I feel like people will really resonate with that one, along with Winds of Change. Deliverance. I think when you guys punctuate the album with Baptism of Fire, I feel like a lot of those songs really do pinpoint everything that was really happening or what you guys were feeling at that point in time. And I think a lot of people are going to enjoy those songs.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your kind words. It's a hard one because you never know what people are going to connect with.
Mm-hmm.
Personal interaction in a song never necessarily means that resonates to a wider audience. So when I hear great things that you've just said there, it kind of feels like the task and the purpose we set out to do has worked.
Right. Yeah,
those songs have touched you in a way. They've made you think. They've made you explore maybe parts of your life, parts of your like relationships with loved ones and close people. So that's a great feeling for us. That feels like the end goal was this and we've kind of got close to it.
I think like Woody and I talked about this the other night, and I think if as long as songs are delivered and written in a way with passion, but like with conviction, as long as it's from the heart, you're wearing your heart on your sleeve. You're not trying to be or sing about anything to big yourself up. This is from the heart, essentially. Be it, like you said, Woody, angry, sad, frustrated, whatever it might be, as long as it's delivered and written from the heart, then it's convincing to people. You can tell when it is not written that way.
Right. I think the word that I'm looking for in this is authentic. Exactly. Within every track, what I like is that we don't get the same sounds instrumentally over and over and over again. There's something different to chew off of within every track that pairs emotionally with the lyrics. And while it's different, you're staying authentic to what you guys are as a band, and also staying authentic to what the narrative is for the album, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think they've all got like an identity, the songs to them. And I think that is probably quite apparent, I think, on a lot of our albums. And it happens live as well. I mean, Woody can testify to this, is that, you know, we tour with a lot of bands. And I remember someone was saying to us that, like, the thing is with your set is that you remember each song.
Mm-hmm.
They end up walking away humming such and such a line or this melody or that. It's not just heavy for heavy's sake. Do you know what I mean? It's like
Right. Each
song's got an identity. The album has a beginning, a middle, and end. It's a journey, much like when we play live. You know, there's an intro. There's a way that we link songs. There's how we end. And, you know, it's sort of deliberate and thought out and intentional that taking people on a journey, you know? Yeah, I think songs have got an identity. There's something memorable about all of them.
Now, thankfully, you know, tours are back in the mix and you guys are being able to share all of these songs with everybody now, once this album comes to fruition to everybody's ears, not just mine, but, you know, everybody else that will be able to listen to this. What's next for you guys moving forward? Any tours or, you know, possibly anything else moving forward for you guys?
We are in the early stages of exploring potentially doing a headline tour. It's quite difficult because not only did we go through a pandemic, but while the pandemic was going on, obviously between the UK and Europe, there was Brexit. That's obviously a whole different world of issues. So we're having to kind of learn how to deal with that and deal with the pandemic. So for us, it was like the first step was to get the music out. Realize it or know if we have our place still. I think for the rest of like 23, I think it's try and get as much touring as we possibly can. It's obviously not the easiest thing to do in the world at the moment, but we want to try and aim to get as much as we can underneath our belt, and then probably explore writing some more music. It's been a while since we wrote that album. We've had that album for a long time, so for us it's very dated. It hasn't even come out, so we want to try and keep things fresh a bit. So doesn't mean we'll necessarily release music next year, but we'll definitely probably be aiming to get some stuff down and written, maybe for a potential release at the end of next year or something for early 24.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about doing some more things with the songs from this album. So, you know, just trying different things out, but not necessarily with new music, but doing some interesting, cool stuff. Not just the music videos that we've done, but like, you know, exploring different ways of performing and delivering these songs. So yeah, we'll see what we can do with that for sure.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to the album cycle for this and what it's going to do for you guys moving forward? Because like I said, I do feel like this is one of the most matured and instrumentally advanced albums that you guys have produced through the longevity of your career. Like I said, it's not just the emotion that you're eliciting, not with just the instrumentation, but, you know, the lyrics, I feel like really stand out in this album. And I think a lot of people are going to resonate with this. Once this hits in January, I think people are going to be not only surprised with some of the songs, because I do feel like there's some songs where they're going to be like, oh, wow, can't believe they really did that. Certain like little nuances that you guys did here and there that I really appreciated. Like I said, with Rush, I feel like that was something not unexpected, but something that was really testing and really pushing the boundaries of what you guys could really do.
It nearly didn't make the album.
Well, I'm glad that it did. I would have been very upset.
What happened with that song is it was an instrumental for ages and it nearly didn't make the album. And I wrote some stuff and I did a voice note with just kind of saying the lyrics over it, not really singing it. And that allowed it to kind of progress into something more. But nearly didn't make it. It was on the chopping block for a while.
Well, whoever anybody believes in, I don't really care. Fully respect whatever anybody believes in. I'm just glad that those kind of prayers were answered and it made it onto this album. But that, like Winds of Change and songs like Burn, like I said, Deliverance and Baptism of Fire, I feel like those were really great layered songs. Like I said, not just instrumentally, but lyrically, I felt like those really pushed what you guys could really do to the extent of what you guys wanted to do with the limits of, again, with the pandemic. It's a really great album for what it was at the time. But I want to thank you guys for coming on here onto the podcast. I really appreciate you guys talking about, you know, the span of the band and talking about the record overall. I really appreciate you guys being here.
Yeah, thank you very much for such an amazing interview and for being such a great host.
Oh, thank you.
We'll write another album and then we can do another one.
Definitely. I would love to come back and revisit this. Like you said, we are not seeing this as dated. You guys are seeing this as dated. But since we're on a regular time schedule now, hopefully, fingers crossed, with the way albums are coming out these days, we can return back on a regular basis talking about this album and the next album moving forward. But anybody who's watching this, feel free to like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. I'm also on Spotify and any other streaming services that you guys happen to listen to this on. And also find it on the Into the Void website. Take care, guys.
Bye. Bye.